Shalom Aleichem. Welcome, everyone. I'm speaking to you from the center of the universe at Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. And here we are also preparing for Shabbos Parshas Ekev. I'd like to share with you two or three thoughts l'kavod Shabbos. The first starts from the very beginning of the parasha. We have here, and we learned it this week on Monday and Thursday, B'gamah Setzira Yishalach Hashem Elokech Abam. We have this nace of the special tzira, this wasp of some sort, which was used to destroy the Canaanim in Eretz Yisrael when Yeshua went to conquer the land. This is mentioned earlier in the Torah, in Mishpatim, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Ches. And there it says, Yishalachti es hatzira lefanecha, v'gersha es achivi, es aknani, v'es achitim lefanecha. There the Pasuk says that the tzira will drive out Chivi, Knani, Chiti, three out of the six nations, will be driven out of Eretz Yisrael by the Tzira. Somehow, from Parshas Mishpatim to Parshas Ekev, the job of the Tzira got smaller. Look at this week's Parsha. It says, Gamis HaTzira, Yishalach Hashem Elokecha Bam, Ad Avoid HaNisharim VaNisarim Miponecha. It will destroy those who are leftovers that are hiding from you. In other words, the army will do battle, and whether the army misses, the Tzira will come and destroy. It seems that from Mishpatim to Ekev, the job of the Tzira became much smaller. If you look at Rashi in both places, the Pella is even bigger. If you look at Parshas Mishpatim, again, Perachot Gimel, Pasuk Chav Ches, Rashi says, what does the Tzira do? Matila behem aras, behem mason. It says it put a poison in our enemies, and they died. So the Tzira actually killed our enemies. Then, look at this week's parasha. Hatzira, Rashi says, Hoisto zeirekes behem mara. Rashi here doesn't use the word sam, poison. He uses the word mara, which means something bitter. Umisar sasan, umisama eseneim. It blinded them and made them unable to reproduce. Now, if it killed them, who cares that it blinded them? It looks like, here from Rashi, that what the Tzira did is it blinded them and harmed them and help Klal Yisrael destroy them. But again, it's a tremendous yerida from the Pasuk in Mishpatim to the Pasuk in Ekev. Apella, I haven't seen anyone of the Mefarshim here or in Mishpatim that makes this point. What changed? So I would suggest, Yavai Rashi Shlishi Yechriya Beinayim. There's a third Rashi that could answer the Sira between these two, and that Rashi is in Parshas Avarin, Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches. There, Rashi says, Ilo lo shalchu meraglim, lo yotzrichim l'klei zayin. It says that they conquered Eretz Yisrael, they had to conquer Eretz Yisrael by fighting a battle, taking swords, and taking tools of war. But Ilo lo shalchu meraglim, had the meraglim not been bent, lo yotzrichim klei zayin, then they would not have needed to actually do battle. That Rashi answers the stira between the other two. The first Rashi is in Mishpatim before the story of the Meraglim. So there they would have not have to do battle in a physical battle. So there the Tzira would have done the job for them, would have destroyed. Here in Parshas Ekev, it's afterwards. After the story of the Meraglim, everything changed. And here, in fact, they had to do battle and the Tzira was only able to help them. This Yisoid is that Yisoid that says in Drasha Saran. The Drasha Saran has a Yisoid that a person creates his own reality. Had they not sent the Meraglim, then they could have done battle in a supernatural way, through Shemayim. By sending the Meraglim, they said, no, we have to use strategy. We have to know how to attack. They created the reality. They slept themselves down to a world where they needed more Shadlus, and therefore they had to exist in that level. So this is the story of the Tzira, and it might help explain why in Sefer Yeshua, the Tzira is not a major force. It's mentioned all the way at the end of the last parak, Yeshua mentions the Tzira, but it's not a major force in the battle of conquering Eretz Yisrael. Let's move on to a second thought based on the parasha, and I'll begin this with something that Rav Shiller, the Rosh Hashiva here in Ar Sameach, said to me in the name of the Panovich Rav. The Panovich Rav is the question. The Medrash says that there are Asara Rav, there are 10 hungers, 10 famine that take place in the world, and it lists 10 famines, starting, of course, from the famine in the time of Avraham Avinu, the famine in the time of Yaakov Yosef when they were in Mitzrayim, and it lists 10 different times that there was a Ra'av. The 10th that's mentioned is the Ra'av that the Navi foretells by Ket Hayamim, Shalachti Ra'av Ba'aret, by Ra'av La'lechem, by Tomal Amayim, Kiyim L'shmaya as Dvar Hashem. That there will be a hunger, there will be a thirst, not a hunger for food or for drink, but rather a hunger to know the Dvar Hashem. So the Panav Yisharav asked the question, how do you group these 10 hungers, these 10 famines in one group? How could you do that? The 9 were Puraniyos. The 9 hungers were tragedies. People died. The 10th is the hunger, the Rav La'lechem, V'tzamei L'mayim, Lo'i Rav La'lechem, Lo'i Tzamei L'mayim, Kim L'shmayas, Dvar Hashem. So if it's to hear the word of Hashem, it's like the Panav Yisharav, how do you group that with the others? And the Panav Yisharav answered, that is teaching us something. In the time of our hunger, when people unfortunately have nothing to eat, the nature is that a person takes a wrapper, a food wrapper, or something, a rind of a food, and licks it, and imagines in his mind, he gets a little taste. He thinks that he's eating. He's really not eating. He's licking the taste off the edge of the wrapper. But in his mind, he imagines that he's eating. That is what happens during a Rav. And the idea is to compare it to the Rav of Ketz Hayamim. There will be the time of Ikkus of the Mashiach, a hunger for Ruchnius, the spirituality. But there are people who are going to be hungry for Ruchnius, but they have no connection to Torah. And what are they going to do? They're going to grab on to Kabbalistic thoughts, to other types of thoughts, supernatural ideas, and they're going to grab it like we see today. There are many people who hop on, they have no connection to Torah, they grab on to Kabbalah, became somehow popular in the world. Because that's the sadness of this Rav, the Puranius of this Rav, is that people will mistake a different type of Ruchnius because they're going to have a thirst for Ruchnius that's so great, like in time of hunger, they'll grab anything. What does that have to do with the parasha? It has something to do. In the Talalei Eiris on the parasha, he brings from the Igros Chazaynish, Chelek Aleph, letter Reish Tes. Chazaynish says, it's strange, Parshas Devarim, Vaschanan, Ekev, Moshe's warning Klal Yisrael about Avodah Zarah. And we read it and we think, wow, we're much better than them. We don't have this Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. It doesn't affect us. Baruch Hashem, the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah is gone. And when we read these parashiyos, we just feel that we're in a higher level. Says the Chazaynish, no. Before the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah fell away, what existed? What existed was a thirst for spiritual things, a thirst for something more than the gashmius we have in the world. It misled people, as the Panovich Rav said, when there's a hunger for spirituality, you grab anything. And people grabbed on to Avodah Zarah, to things that in their mind were spiritual, even though they had no connection to the true spiritual wellspring of Torah and Avodah. And therefore, today we're not on a higher level, we're on a lower level. We don't have the thirst for Ruchnius. We are thrown into a Gashmiistika world. In a Gashmiistika world, without a thirst for Ruchnius, there's no thirst for Avodah Zarah. But there's a price to be paid. The price to be paid for the bittul of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah is that the power of the person to seek desperately a hunger and a thirst for spirituality, that doesn't exist. We have to work on it. Otherwise, we find ourselves, as we find us sadly, even B'nai Torah, who are out in the world, suddenly become inundated with a thirst and a hunger for all types of pleasures, all types of fanciness, all types of other things. The desire would be that we should have a thirst and a hunger, a famine for Ruchnius, and know where to go to get our fix, to be able to get the Ruchnius. So these are two thoughts on the parasha. My third thought for this week, I'd like to share with you a Dvar Halacha, something I heard discussed here in Yerushalayim. And it was the following Shaila. There were two Jews who were having a din Torah, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven went over to a well-known Rosh Yeshiva, a well-known Rosh Yeshiva known as a tzaddik, and he asked him to daven that he be matzliach in his din Torah. And he gave a generous donation to the yeshiva and asked him to daven that he be successful in his din Torah. The din Torah took place, And unfortunately, Reuven did not win the Din Torah. The Beis Din passed him like Shimon. And Reuven observed, as soon as the Pesach came down, Shimon pulled out his cell phone and made a call. Who did he make a call to? The same Rosh Yeshiva that Reuven had approached. And Shimon tells the Rosh Yeshiva, thank you for davening on my behalf. It worked. I won the Din Torah. Now, obviously, the Rosh Yeshiva had been approached by two individuals, Reuven and Shimon. Each asked that he pray on each individual's behalf that he win the Din Torah. The Rosh Yeshiva did not know that they were opposite each other in the Din Torah. So he had davened for Reuven, he had davened for Shimon. Reuven now went back to the Rosh Yeshiva and he said, I want a refund. I deserve to get my money back. Because after all, I gave you the money on the condition that your tefillahs helped me in my Din Torah. Turns out, just as you were davening on my behalf, you were davening on behalf of the person sitting opposite me. So you didn't end up with a net result of davening on my behalf. If so, it's a nekach toros, I deserve my money back. This is the shaila that's been going around. The psak, the way it's being told here, is the following. That it's not a stira at all. It's not a contradiction. Reuven did end up successful in the Din Torah. The Gemara says, to be successful in a Din Torah, is that the right thing should come out. If someone goes to a Din Torah, of course he wants to win. But if the din is that he should pay, then it's his good fortune that Beis Din forces him to pay. Because after all, it's not good to have someone else's money. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that if you lose a Din Torah, you have to pay. You should go out of the Beis Din singing your praise to God that you didn't end up taking money you're not deserving of. And therefore, the psak, as it is being repeated, is that Reuven does not get a refund. The tefillah did help. He davened for both Reuven and Shimon that they'd be successful in their Din Torah, successful in true success, success in Shemayim. That was the psak, and of course that psak is a beautiful musa for anybody who has to go through a Din Torah. However, my ha'ara, is that it's very nice in Derech HaMusar to say such a thing. To say that in Shemayim, of course, it's better. Your neshama is happier. If you're supposed to lose the Din Torah, that you lose it. However, that wasn't what Reuven paid for. Reuven paid, he meant that he should win the Din Torah. He was not paying that the tefillah be for a successful Din Torah. He was paying that he win the Din Torah. Now you might say, he's a Rasha, he's not right, he's wrong, say what you want. But at the end of the day, that's what he paid for. And it would seem to me that he is in fact entitled to a refund. Who's right? Am I right? Are they right? Think it over for yourself. Let me end with a question for this week. Apparent difference between this week's parasha and parashas Nitzavim. In our parasha, we find that the Torah says to Klal Yisrael, "Umaltem esar laslavatchem." You have a job to do—a bris milah, not a bris milah in the traditional sense, but umaltem esar laslavatchem. Rather, you should do a bris milah on the stubbornness of your heart. Okay, we understand the concept. In Parshas Nitzavim, if the Revi, Paraklamit, Pasuk Vav, it says, Umal Hashem Alekecha Eslavavcha Ve'eslavav Zarecha, that God will do the bris milah on your heart and the heart of your children. La'avas Hashem Alekecha B'chol Lavavcha B'chol Nashecha L'man Chayecha. Which one is it? Is it our job? Or is it God's job? Well, maybe by Parshas Nitzavim, I'll be able to share an answer with you. Just a thought for the week, wishing everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos. I hope we should continue in the summer of Aliyah. And in Yitzhak Shem Halavai, we should all come here to beautiful Yerushalayim, a place of Ruchnius. If you look for it, you'll find it. To Mehera, be Amenu, Amen.